Welcome to Coming Up for Air, the Allies in Recovery podcast, with hosts Laurie McDougall, Kayla Solomon, and Dominique Simone Levine.
Okay, ladies, we have another really complicated discussion, I think, today. Dominique, why don't you tell our listeners what we're going to be discussing?
I thought we'd talk about another current situation we're helping with of a young mom, I'd say mid to late 30s, you know, who has, say, a 19-year-old. He's just about to turn 20. And he has been trying to kick a fentanyl habit on his own. And he did it like two times and managed each time to keep abstinent for a while, but then something happened. And each time his mother was there by his side throughout the entire detoxification, and they were horrified to the point where the next time, the third time, he agreed to go into a detox and spent 3 weeks getting onto, walked off of fentanyl and onto Suboxone. Enter a burn. He works in a kitchen. He got burned. He got put in the hospital. He got put on opioids. He walked out, went straight to fentanyl. So he's back on fentanyls. And she is out of her mind because he's a very functional, ambitious young man. He doesn't want to lose his job. He doesn't want this thing to take over his life. So he got a prescription for Suboxone, and he's trying to use the Suboxone here and there to reduce the amount of fentanyl or to completely substitute for the fentanyl. It's not working out, and she's on the cliff with this. But we've spoken, and there's no room for her to back away. I get the impression that she's always been there. It's just been the two of them. And I see these families a lot where it's an adult child with, you know, a single child of a mom who's no longer with the partner or the biological parent or of, you know, a partner to help parent. And they get very, very close. And she's been there every step of the way with her son, every step of the way. And right now he's on the fence because he's sort of able to keep it together. I had her call the detox again. She found out whether there's wait lists, what it's going to take, and does his insurance still cover it? And what does he have to do in order to get in? So she's ready with the detox. And now I've told her she kind of has to wait. She just has to wait till there's a moment. And she's checking in with him all the time. And obviously this is ruling her day. And yet this patience that I'm asking of her is action. I keep saying, this is action you're taking. It just looks like nothing. In the meantime, I said, I researched home detox for fentanyl, and it's an NIH paper. So I will send the reference to anybody who wants to write in and ask for it. It's a detox protocol where people can take themselves off of fentanyl and onto Suboxone in this microdosing fashion that avoids clinics and the long-term use of a medication for those who really, really, really want to be drug-free. I, of course, am encouraging her just to get him back on Suboxone. It's by far the safest thing. But I'd like to talk about both the nuts and bolts of what's going on with an adult on fentanyl who has this kind of desire to get off and to be drug free. And yet the public health part of me is saying, just get him on the Suboxone, shepherd him entirely, influence him entirely towards any sort of treatment, but be very positive about an alternative opioid for treatment right now, because you can't afford any fentanyl. She says fentanyl/heroin. And I go, I don't think there's any heroin left on the streets in Florida. You know, it's all fentanyl, it's carfentanil, it's baby diarrhea medicine. It is every imaginable thing in there. Nobody knows. I mean, we call it really down in Florida where we sit in Palm Beach, because we work throughout Palm Beach County with Allies in Recovery. It's poison. It's a chemical brew. Nobody knows what they're really taking. And so it's critical that we have reoccurrences and go looking for what he thinks is a heroin on the street.
Yeah. And there's added xylazine. There's an addition to fentanyl now is this drug called xylazine. And the mixture between the fentanyl and the xylazine is not a good mixture. And so, yeah, I totally understand the public health persona wanting to say, hey, just get on the Suboxone. And I also think that he knows it's there because he was on it in the past, right? Wasn't he? He was medicated with Suboxone in the past. And mom can just say, you know, it's an option. Even if you want to go through this detox and not be on Suboxone on the other side of it, if you change your mind at any point, it's an option. It's still there for you. So yeah, this is, it's complicated, but it's interesting. Talk to me a little bit about how'd you find this added way of detoxing, which I think is pretty amazing on the NIH. Can you explain what is NIH for our listeners?
I read it several weeks ago, so I don't recall the study authors, but it's a National Institutes of Health publication. And it talks about this micro stepping from fentanyl over to Suboxone. For those who do not know, and maybe Laura, you know this better, the stepping from a fentanyl over to a Suboxone has this middle period that they force patients to go through, which is full withdrawals is what they're looking for. Can you say more, Lori?
Yeah. A part of the reason why is because if someone is prescribed Suboxone and they're not fully detoxed out off of fentanyl, then they're going to go into precipitated withdrawal. They'll experience really almost instantaneously like these really horrific withdrawal symptoms. So that's why they really worked at coming up with this microdosing. And I do know that there's a lot of clinics and treatment that will microdose people onto Suboxone from fentanyl. Personally, I would be nervous doing a detox from fentanyl at home without medical supervision, just because fentanyl, I mean, withdrawal from fentanyl, from my understanding of it, is a lot harder and a lot worse than heroin or other opioids. It's longer lasting. It's just, like you said, it's like weeks of these withdrawal symptoms. So for me, I would want to see my loved one being medically supervised doing the microdosing of Suboxone. But, you know, oftentimes you get a loved one who says, no, I'm not. I'm going to do it this way. And I mean, what are you going to do? You got to go with it and just support as much as you can.
And this is where it's hard on a family. What are you going to do? You cannot do anything. You have to go with what they're saying. They're an adult. It's their decision. And all you can do is throw options at them, worked out options that are realistic and that can derail them from a plan. And he'll probably figure it out sooner or later, because I'm sure it's not perfect. Coming off fentanyl from that level of tolerance, opioid tolerance, is unimaginable. And to drop from that to low enough and to tether it back and forth like that is hard to do. But I can tell you that anybody who's been on fentanyl has had it happen to them time and time again. You run out of the drug, the dealer disappears. It is never a perfect supply system out there. And so people on opiates are always managing the use and the withdrawals that come when you run out and have to go looking for it, or don't have the money for it. Or this is nothing new to anybody who's experienced it, this.
What we need to look at here is that you just said this, Dominic, and you implied it, Lori, where the person makes a decision that they want to do something in a particular way. And this is where it's like, okay, you know, we have our brilliant ideas, the things that we want, the way we want it done. And then there's reality, which is what does your loved one want? And, you know, we actually had somebody in the group this week that said that her son is playing around with titrating himself off of fentanyl at home. And that's the only way he's willing to do it. And, you know, I actually think to myself, sometimes when our loved ones come up with a plan and a goal, they know when they're uncomfortable. They know when it's too much. They're not going down fast. If you go down fast, you're just going to give yourself more drugs that day if it's too harmful. There's an element of respect that I have for people who are trying to do what they need to do on their own. And I know that sometimes that feels presumptuous from us, like, how can we trust them and why would we let them do it? But I also feel like if they're thinking about this, there's a good chance they've been looking up how to do it and they're looking up how to figure it out. And I will tell you that as somebody who's worked in this field for a long, long time, it's astonishing to me the level of information that's shared between people on the street about how to do things and how not to get sick and that kind of stuff.
The other thing that I'm hoping we can kind of point out here is, boy, is that resilience, and it's resiliency, and it's pretty powerful. It's pretty amazing, and really speaks to, I know mom is feeling desperate and frustrated and, you know, is just probably a big puddle on the kitchen floor over this particular issue. But wow, the power and just the resiliency that this kid is showing, that he is trying to manage his own detox and get off of fentanyl. It just speaks to his, I just can't say it enough. It just speaks to how much control he really wants to have over his own life.
Absolutely. The other thing I'd suggest is offering to have him see a doctor so that he is followed, but also the carrot is that the doctor can prescribe comfort medications and he knows what those are. And, you know, they can include a benzodiazepine, which is pretty serious drug, but one that is often used in detoxification centers. So if you're going to help manage this process with your loved one, and I have heard and know of some wild stories where people have taken their loved ones like 8-10 hours out of their city to help them detox in a motel with the help of a medical doctor who's supplied all the comfort meds and the Suboxone. And here they go together, you know, the adult child and the mother in this case, days of helping her daughter get from the bed to the toilet, to the bath, back to the bed, and her daughter being pretty much knocked out through it. And none of this is terribly legal. And there's a whole world of this underground stuff going on to help these desperate families get their kids and their loved ones, their partners, who are really caught. Really caught. I was addicted to heroin, so I know how it was to be caught, but I cannot imagine the multiplication of pain that comes from a fentanyl. I can't even imagine what they're going through. And you can't tell me anybody who's a fentanyl user is a happy fentanyl user. They are caught. And so please, please, you know, stay in connection, learn these skills, talk to us, hear us, listen to us on modules. Because you are in their life, which means you can lend them a hand. And we were talking in preparation for this podcast about the family member that just walks away, can't deal with it at all. And that's not this mom at all, right? She's on one extreme end of she's hanging on and she feels responsible and his well-being is her. It's her. There's no separation there. So she's going to be there with him. So let's teach her what to do.
Can I ask you a quick question too, Dominique? Because you said that sometimes you can get a doctor to help kind of monitor and prescribe these comfort meds outside of a detox center. How does a family member go and find that person? Any ideas on that? Because I've heard of this before, but I wouldn't even know where to begin to try and find a doctor that might help me with that.
I'm sure it has to be word of mouth. And then you're just going to have to test the doctor. Maybe test the nurse, test the doctor, say, yeah, beg for 10 minutes on the phone with a doctor to see what his or her approach would be. I have, you know, doctors are not well trained in this at all. And the one case I just described, it was an addiction doctor who knew what, you know, what this couple needed, this mom and daughter.
So maybe reaching out to a clinic or a detox clinic or something like that, where maybe, you know, you talk to someone. No, she's shaking her head. Out.
People in the system are going to be the most protected.
Okay.
With a general practitioner who's willing to, you know, anti-diarrheal, anti-nausea, a sleep aid, and then a Suboxone, you know, strip so that they can cut it up and get it going that way.
Which, by the way, you can now get Suboxone from your primary care physician. You do not need to have, doctors do not need to have the, what was it called?
The regulator.
Yeah, and you don't have to have that anymore. So you could go to your primary care possibly and talk to them about it. I don't know a lot about this.
I think what we're also describing is doing things really differently. because as this crisis escalates, I'm hoping that there will be more responsiveness to doing things outside of the box. The box is you go into a detox, which may or may not be able to handle it. And then often people will get onto Suboxone so that they can make the transition. It used to be that people would get onto methadone, but that's being used less and less. It's much more Suboxone, sometimes methadone. But I also think that as more and more people are feeling desperate and asking providers for this, it would be interesting to see if there is a protocol where if a doctor is willing to engage with your loved one, that the protocol, like Dominique said, is sleep meds, pain meds, not pain meds in the traditional sense, but things that could help, you know, modestly take care of discomfort, anti-diarrheal, anti-nausea, that kind of stuff. And then really it's this kind of horrifying process if you're going to do this with your loved one, because that's the other thing. You know, I remember when my kid was little, we were trying to train her to sleep, and we would have to wait 15 minutes for her to stop crying before we went in. And I feel like this is that on like super explosive steroids, that you are going to watch your loved one absolutely suffer. So if you're going to do this, you have to prepare, and not, because this is why people bail. Like they start getting uncomfortable. They're like, nope, this is not good. But if you're there to hold the space and really help the person get through it and be encouraging, and you have your own outside support so that you're not freaking out and panicking, it looks really bad. And it might be that before you do any of this, you actually, I'm sure there's somewhere to find videos on watching somebody go through detox, and it looks like they're going through hell. And you have to be prepared if you're going to do anything like this.
Okay, this is great. Thank you so much for this conversation. Oh, Dominique's raising her hand.
Just throw in that at the end of that 8-hour journey in the motel and the detoxification, she was then driven to a private 90-day treatment program. So the mother had figured out next steps. The daughter had agreed. The whole plan had been designed by the two of them, right? And she went. And then she eventually, they let her start working the front counter. And now she's an administrator assistant doing work at, you know, she's still there as far as I know. It's a great story. It's a harrowing story from a mom who watched her daughter fall in love with the fentanyl dealer in town and go through just the most extreme things together as a couple. And the hardest things is when you have a couple that are using together. We have a number of families for which this happens. Just to say the planning, the strategy, you can't say enough about it. It's very important to have it done.
And I just want to add, because I don't think it was, I think you said something about 8 hours. This process takes days. So I just want to be really clear about that. It takes days for people to detox off of this and not seriously impaired.
So Kayla, can you just give us a quick summary? What did we talk about today?
Yeah, actually, well, we talked about fentanyl and how that is the primary opiate that's out there in the world, and that there are ways to detox off of it. But if people want to do their own personal home detox or, you know, a personal detox, you need to get the information. You need to see if you could get some support set up. And also, if that's what your loved one is asking for, it would be a really interesting thing to say yes to them somehow and get the structure lined up, whether it's getting meds for them, consulting with other people, getting them away from your home, and being able to tolerate the process so that you could help keep them not comfortable, but less disturbed during this process of days and days of trying to detox. And then hopefully, as Dominique said, there's an aftercare plan where you can have them go into some more intensive treatment and not just stop.
Okay, great. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be back again next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope this episode of Coming Up for Air spoke to you. If you're listening in today on a podcast platform that isn't the Allies member site, please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating. This helps others find the show more easily. If you have a suggestion for a new topic or a guest for the show, please reach out through the Contact Us form on alliesinrecovery.net. Special thanks to our hosts, our guests, and our production team.